Appreciate another opportunity to bring the scriptures to our minds that we can seek to be more like our Master and please our Father in everything that we do. Every congregation needs elders. And you know I have no authority to dictate on any congregational matters for anyone, but we can examine the scriptures together and see what the Lord has in mind for this congregation. In Acts the 15th chapter, verses 1 and 2, the elders in Jerusalem are mentioned along with the apostles in authority. Referring to the ones in Antioch, certain men came down from Judea, taught the brethren and said, "Except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved." When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. So every flock needs an eldership. In 1 Peter 5 verses 1 and 2, Peter now is one of the elders. It's true he's an apostle of God, but here he declares that he is also an elder. He says, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the suffering of Christ, and also partaker of the glory that shall be revealed." And here's the responsibility of the elders. "Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof." That's what the elders are to do, take the oversight thereof, "not by constraint, but willingly. Not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind." So the Lord wants men who are ready and willing to serve as the overseers of His flock. In Matthew the 7th chapter, verse 15, the Lord promised that His sheep would always have wolves among them. This is Matthew the 7th chapter, verse 15. He says, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." So there are false prophets among us, and the Lord had always told us that there would always be false teachers among us. We need protection from these, and shepherds of a flock are the ones who are traditionally given responsibility to look after the sheep and to protect them from the wolves. In Acts the 20th chapter, Ephesus is a very strong congregation at this time. But Paul now is talking to the elders in verse 17. He calls for them. And in verse 29, he says, "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them." This was the plan that God had, and of course it's still happening today, and many of the flocks have been turned aside and turned unto vanities and unto liberalism and many other things. And of course we know how many of the congregations in the world today that had been faithful years ago are no longer faithful today. And one of the main reasons is because they don't have qualified elders. In Titus, the first chapter, verses 9 through 11, every flock needs shepherds to defend themselves from the wolves. And that's what he tells here in verse 9. He's talking to the ones who are going to be elders, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that's each elder, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayer. The gainsayer is the one that speaks against the truth. Verse 10, "For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake." So there's one of the main works of the eldership, and that is to protect the flock against the false teachers that enter in among the flock. And we know that it could happen just in a moment when any congregation can be taken over. In 2 Peter, the 2nd chapter, verses 1 through 3, the Lord warned us that there will always be false teachers among us, which tells us then that we always need elders to protect the flock. In 2 Peter 2, verse 1, there were false prophets also among the people, referring to the Old Testament, even as there shall be false teachers among you. Now, there's a promise. Even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways. So if many are going to be following these false teachers, what do we need to protect the members against the false teachers? Many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness, there's their main motive, shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingers not, and their damnation slumbers not. In Matthew the 18th chapter and verse 6, God has ordained that he will punish these false teachers, but not before they've done all the damage that they have done. Matthew 18, verse 6, but whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depths of the sea. The Lord is going to punish the false teacher, but he needs someone to defend against these same false teachers. In John the 17th chapter and verse 12, Jesus was concerned that he not lose even one sheep. And he, of course, was the shepherd, and God gave him 12 sheep to look after, actually gave him 11, and one was already a devil. Jesus testified, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those whom thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Now there's the elder's responsibility, that none of the sheep should be lost. And Jesus now was the faithful shepherd. He left us an example. He didn't lose any of his sheep. In John the 18th chapter, verses 7 through 9, John 18, verses 7 through 9, Jesus did not lose even one that God had entrusted to him. Then asked they them again, whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. If therefore you seek me, let these go their way. Now notice, let these go their way, that the same might be fulfilled which he spake. Of them which thou gavest me have I lost none. That's why he made that statement. Because God had given him sheep, and he told these people, you let these sheep go, and that it might be fulfilled which he spake, of them which thou gavest me, I have lost none. Now, a congregation is qualified to have elders as soon as brethren are qualified to be elders. Now, not all congregations desire an eldership. Nevertheless, the Lord's plan is that we have elders for every congregation. In 3 John, the 9th verse through and verse 10, Diotrephes would not accept any authority over him. And we sometimes have this kind of brethren in the church. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them, receives us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, or forbids them that would, and cast them out of the church. So here's somebody that wants to be the head of the church, and he cast everybody out and won't even listen to to an apostle of God. In 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter and verse 20, Corinth endured the same problem with some of its rulers. And this, of course, can be what happens when there are not qualified elders. And Corinth at this time, as far as is on record, had no elders. 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter and verse 20, he tells the Corinthians, for you suffer if a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take of you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you on the face. They had some pretty rough people back in this time. And this is possibly one of the reasons why they didn't have elders, because they had these false teachers. In Hebrews the 13th chapter and verse 7, Hebrews 13 and verse 7, the congregation is commanded to submit to God-ordained elders. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Remember them which have the rule over you. And that is, they stand first. They are the ones to direct the flock. And then he tells what these leaders do, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow. So back in the New Testament time, the main ones that did the feeding of the flock were the shepherds, if they had shepherds. In Hebrews the 13th chapter and verse 17, again, he commands these brethren, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. There's the elders' responsibility. As they that must give account, they'll have to give account to God for the way they have dealt with the sheep, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Now, there are some congregations that are not qualified to have elders. In Titus, the first chapter, rather, they don't have men qualified to be elders. In Titus, the first chapter, verses 6 through 9, how would you like to find some elders in this congregation or in the nation of Crete? He says, if any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. For the bishop must be faithful as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayer. Now here Titus was in a land where the Cretes were always liars, slow bellies, and gluttons. And how would you like to try and find elders in a nation like that? It wasn't just a congregation, it was a nation. Nevertheless, they did have men that were qualified. Let's go over those qualifications a little more slowly here now. Titus 1, verse 6. If any be blameless, and to blame somebody, he has to be doing something wrong. Remember, Peter came to Antioch, and he was to be blamed because he was eating with the Gentiles. Then he showed respect to persons and went over and left the Gentiles and only ate with the Jews. So at that time, Peter was to be blamed. Nevertheless, was he qualified to be an elder? Well, the answer is yes, because when he was rebuked by Paul, no doubt he received that rebuke. So then he would be blameless again. So even if an elder makes a mistake, it doesn't mean that he's not qualified if he repents of that mistake. Then the husband of one wife, having faithful children, and that faithful children are those faithful to the Lord and to the parents, if they're faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. And that's for the children. They cannot be accused of riotous living or being unruly, not listening to the laws. Verse 7, for a bishop must be blameless. So he said it the second time. A bishop must be blameless as the steward of God. So here he is a steward. He has a responsibility given to him, and it's required of stewards that they be faithful. Not self-willed. And that literally is a word, not self-pleasing, not insisting on his own way like Diotrephes. Not soon angry, not given to wine. And of course, not given to wine, back in that time, they would get up early in the morning, tarry long till late at night till the wine consumed them. And an elder cannot be given to wine. No striker, not given to filthy lucre. There's your man who's covetous. But a lover of hospitality. And literally, this is a lover of strangers or a lover of aliens. And so here is a man that needs to love those who are not part of the same group, that they are aliens. A lover of good men. And that word men is not in the Greek. It's a lover of good. Here's a man that loves good, and God is good. So here's a lover of God. who's sober, that is, has a safe mind, who's just, and the word just is the word righteous, who's holy, that is, set apart for God and for God's work, and temperate, that is, under self-control, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught. So he needs to know the word of God, and he has to be able to teach the word of God, and he needs to be able, by that sound doctrine, both to exhort and to convince the gainsayer. So these are qualifications that every elder must have. So in 1 Timothy, the third chapter, we read again the qualifications of elders. He says, "This is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desires a good work." Now, this is a work. It's one of the most all-encompassing works that a person will have, because once he has the responsibility, then God begins to use that man for the congregation. So it's a thing that God wants to have in every congregation, because he wants to use that kind of person. He says, here's a man that desires the office of a bishop. That is one of the qualifications. And why would anyone want to have the desire to be an overseer of the flock of God? Well, first of all, it's not an honor necessarily, but it is a good work. And that's what he says here. He desires a good work. Why? Because he then has a special responsibility to look after each individual member of that flock. And then that man has an authority to be used as an elder of God's church, which the average man does not have. And so he can use that authority to approach the members of the church, especially those that have special needs, which he could not otherwise if he were not appointed as an elder of God. And again, in verse 2, a bishop then must be blameless, same as we read in Timothy. The husband of one wife, again, same as we read in Timothy. Then this word vigilant, that's somebody who's watchful, who's sober, that is, has a sound mind of good behavior. So this is a man who's got behavior that is acceptable by others, given to hospitality. There's a lover of strangers again, apt to teach. And there's a quality that every elder needs to have. Not only does he have knowledge of the word, but he's also apt or able to teach that word. Now, just because someone knows the word doesn't mean he's able to teach it. This elder needs to be able to teach that word. Not given to wine, we read that in Titus. No striker, we read that in Titus. Not greedy of filthy lucre, same in Titus, but patient. And here is a patient, is a man who endures suffering in order to do what is right. Not a brawler, not striker in Titus, not covetous, not one that desires more silver. One that rules well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. And I'd like to make a point here. How old was this man who was appointed an elder back in this time if he still had children at home? You know, sometimes we think, well, man's got to be well up in age and his children all gone from home before he can be appointed an elder. But according to what he's saying here, he's talking now about men who still have their children at home and who is able to rule his house. And having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? So ruling the church of God is like ruling a family, isn't it? Isn't that what he says here? So if he doesn't know how to rule his family and bring them up in the Lord, then how could he rule the flock of God and bring them up in the Lord when he doesn't know how to rule his own family? And he says, not a novice, that is someone that's new, lest being lifted up with pride he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. So those outside need to respect this man just like those in the church. In 1 Timothy, the third chapter, verses 14 and 15, Did Timothy have authority to ordain elders in Ephesus? We have some brethren that think that the preacher is the one that has the authority to ordain elders. I don't find that with either Timothy or Titus. They may have, but it's not recorded if they do. Notice why he's writing these things in 1 Timothy 3:14. These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. So that's why he's writing these things, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God. These rules for Timothy are the same rules for all the members of the church. And these qualifications that he gave through Timothy, anyone could see these qualifications. In Acts the 14th chapter, verses 21 to 23, we see a pattern here in the New Testament that Paul had gone to these cities in Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, and then he went back to Antioch of Syria, and then again he makes another journey 6 years later. So he's gone into these cities, taught the people, converted them, made disciples, established the churches here. Then 6 years later, verse 21, and when they had preached the gospel of that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra, to Iconium, and Antioch. So they returned again. They'd already been there. They left. They came back. Why? Confirming the souls of the disciples. They wanted to establish their souls so that they were faithful to God, and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. So they had some work to do, and he was encouraging them, you endure all this suffering and this trouble so you can enter into the eternal kingdom of God. And verse 23, notice what else they did when they returned 6 years later. And when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. Notice, when they had ordained them elders in every church. So there were men after 6 years of being a Christian, being disciples, that were qualified to be elders in the Lord's church. In Acts the 14th chapter, we mentioned this before, but I'd like to go over it again. Did Paul himself ordain elders in the churches? Well, he ordained them, there's no question, but we need to find out what that word ordained here is in the scriptures. In Acts 14:23, when they had ordained, and that's 5,500 in the Greek, them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they had believed. Now, the scripture says that more than one person ordained these elders. Let's read it again. And when they had ordained, Paul was there, and who else was there? Were there other apostles there? Or were there others there? How did they, more than Paul, ordain these elders? Well, the word is interesting. New Testament Strong's number 5,500. It's the word keratonia, from a comparative of 5,495 and tano, to stretch. And that is to be a hand reacher or voter by raising the hand. Is that interesting? Ordained here is the word 5,500, which is to be a hand reacher or voter by raising the hand. So why was it more than one person that ordained them elders? Because there were some raising the hand stretchers in this time. We're looking now in 2 Corinthians, the 8th chapter, and verse 19. We're using the same word here at verse 19. And not only, not that only, but who also was also chosen of the churches to travel with us with this grace, which is administered by us to the glory of the same Lord and declaration of your ready mind. So here he's talking about somebody that was going to carry this money to Jerusalem, and he says, not that only, but who was also chosen of the churches. And that word chosen is 5,500, who was voted or hand stretched of the churches to travel with us in this grace. So the churches ordained that these men would take the money to Jerusalem by hand stretching, by voting. In 1 Corinthians, the 5th chapter and verse 4, the authority to choose men to carry the money was this same authority that we're going to deliver a man to Satan. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together, and my spirit with the Lord, a power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such a one unto Satan. So here the same ones that were ordaining elders, ordaining men to carry their money, also were the ones that had the authority to deliver a man to Satan. In Titus, the 1st chapter, verse 5, Titus was given authority to ordain elders in every city. For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou should set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city. Now this word ordain here is 25:25. Ordain elders in every city as I had appointed you. And this is to place down. And that is permanently, to place something down. So where did Titus get this authority? Was this a pattern that all the preachers are able to ordain elders in every church? Well, Titus was not the preacher in any individual congregation in Crete. He says, for this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou should ordain, set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city. So how many places did Titus then ordain these elders? And how long had it been since these brethren had been converted in Crete? It had not been a long time. And yet Titus had the job to go and ordain elders. Now the question is, did Titus have more authority than Paul did in ordaining these elders? In Romans, the 16th chapter, in verse 26, the word commanded here in other places, but now is made manifest by the scriptures of the prophets according to the commandment of the everlasting God made known to all nations for obedience under the faith. So these commandments here, this is what Titus had in Titus 1:3, that he was commanded to, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. The point I'm trying to make here is this, and that is that when elders are ordained, it's a commandment of God, not a commandment of men. And when men are qualified, then God expects them to be appointed by his commandment. In John, the 5th chapter, verse 19, did Titus have more authority than Jesus? Someone says, well, Titus had the authority, but where did he get it from? From an apostle. Where did the apostle get it from? He got it from God. In John, the 5th chapter, verse 19, then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. So where did Jesus get his authority? He got his authority from the church. We'll close now in Acts, the 6th chapter, as the Lord gave the ordination to the congregation to choose out men that were faithful in order to be appointed to look after those widows in the congregation. In Acts, the 6th chapter and verse 1, in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude and the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look you out from you, among you, 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. And the word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. Notice the pattern that he sets down here. And that is the 12 called the multitude of the disciples and said, it's not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Verse 3. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you, 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. So who was it then that chose these men? He gave that responsibility to the brethren. And the brethren then looked out among them and chose the men that were qualified and presented them to the apostles. Then the apostles presented them as the ones that were going to look after that specific problem in the church here in Jerusalem. And by the way, these were not elders at this time, but we find a pattern of how they chose. And that's how Paul then would ordain elders, by being a hand stretcher. How then did Timothy do it? Did he have more authority than the one who gave them the authority? Or was Titus also a hand stretcher? And did the congregation know the brethren that were qualified more than Titus, who would come into the congregation and not know the people? How would Titus know that? He would have to follow the same pattern these people follow by saying, congregation, you look out among you, men that are qualified, you bring them, and they will be appointed as your elders and deacons. The Lord would have every congregation to have elders and deacons. And, of course, he wants that in this congregation also, if there are men who are qualified. This morning, we'd like to offer the invitation to those who are not part of the Lord's body. If you understand that you need to have a new mind, to turn from serving self to serving God and live for Him, and determine that you're going to be a disciple of Christ to become like Jesus, then you need to be buried with Christ in the waters of baptism. And then when you are, you come out of the water a new creature, and you have a determination that you're going to listen and keep all those things that Christ has commanded you as your one master. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation to become part of the Lord's body at this time, that you would be baptized for remission of sins, or if you have need of the prayers of the church, then we would encourage you to come now while we stand together and sing.